Blackthorn by J.T. Geisinger, read by Tara Langella, Connor Crace, and Veronica Pace. Blackthorn is a gothic romance that contains dark themes and potentially disturbing content, including but not limited to graphic sex, non-con and dub-con sex, explicit language, possible harm to a child, human sacrifice, disturbing imagery, the occult, religion, violence, murder, horror, incest, blood, death, grief, and gore. Prologue. If malevolence could be a place, it would be Blackthorn Manor, nestled in the tangled black woods beneath leaden skies filled with flocks of circling ravens. Stands the brooding, ancient house where I was born and raised, though to call it a house is akin to calling hell a warm destination. The truth is far more terrifying. I fell in love in that house. I nearly died there, too. Now, as I'm rolled away on a stretcher with an oxygen mask strapped to my face, I watch Blackthorn burn to ruins, the gnarled trunks of the old trees that stand sentinel beside it painted red, like streaks of primordial blood from reflections of the massive flames devouring it. And I know, at long last, that I'm free of this place and the stranglehold it always had over me, except for my dreams, where Blackthorn and its ghosts will always find me. I'm finally free. Part 1. Home Sweet Home. Hell is empty, and all the devils are here. The Tempest. 1. Maven. Solstice, Vermont is a picturesque town nestled in the densely forested hills of New England. Like any small town in this part of the world, Solstice has its share of lore and legends. Hauntings, curses, unsolved mysteries, unexplained natural phenomena, they're as abundant here as maple trees. It's to this place I now return, having fled 12 years ago after my mother's death. Or murder. Depends on who you ask. My daughter Beatrix stands beside me on the deserted train station platform, looking around with trepidation at the old-fashioned bronze lampposts, wooden benches, and small depot with its flaking white paint, peaked roof, and clock tower. It's 4:30 on a gray October afternoon. The air is crisp and redolent with wood smoke. The silence is broken only by the fading sound of the train as it chugs around a curve in the tracks. Then it's swallowed by the fog-shrouded forest, and we're alone. The sense of having been transported back in time is palpable. So is the electrical crackle of my daughter's panic. She's never been outside the city. I suffer a fleeting twinge of regret over that now, but I have good reasons for keeping her surrounded by skyscrapers and concrete. The women in my family go feral if left in nature too long.
Does this town have indoor plumbing?
Of course.
What about electricity? Cars?
I take her hand in mine and squeeze it reassuringly. I know it's not Manhattan, sweetie. Give it a chance.
This place is like a creepy olden town from a horror movie. Those woods are probably full of escaped convicts. We could be hacked to pieces any minute.
It's not creepy. It's charming. You've been watching those crime documentaries again. We talked about that. It's not good for your mental health. Shivering as she edges closer to me, she mutters,
being chopped to bits wouldn't be good for my mental health either.
Dry leaves skittering across our path, we walk across the platform and enter the depot. It's deserted, too, which feels ominous. Then again, everything about this town started to feel ominous to me when my mother died, so I try not to read too much into it. In the small parking lot in front of the depot,